Welcome to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of lawyers.
Of course it was.
Better believe it.
Welcome to another edition of Emil Franzink's Voices of the West. I'm Harry Alexander, Bunker de France across the way there.
Yep.
And way across the way in Los Angeles, it's our good friend Todd Roberts. Hello.
Howdy, howdy, and howdy.
Howdy, howdy, and howdy, indeed.
Duty, duty, and duty.
That's the law firm of howdy, howdy, and howdy. When you're a lawyer and you drink too much, you repeat yourself.
As a matter of fact, I'm wearing my howdy t-shirt today.
He is. He's very howdy.
I'm howdy in everybody.
There you go. Well,
it's duty.
You are a partner in the firm.
So. Yes, indeed.
It's duty howdy time. It's
all duty, right. Howdy time. So we've got us a good one today. We're going to talk about this guy. He's a folklorist, folk artist. He's a cowboy. He's a book author. He's a historian.
Mounted
shooter. This guy's done every damn thing there is. You know,
of all the people that we've researched, this guy has lived more lives and done more different things. Is totally unrelated one to the other as anybody I've ever come across. It's like, make up your mind. What are you going to do? I know he had a lot of fun, though. I know that.
You can't keep a job.
I think it's all a job for him, yeah. The guy's fascinating, though. And, you know, I watched a bunch of... He's got a ton of videos.
Yes, so he does.
And each one of them is entertaining. And he comes across as a very nice, pleasant man.
Jerry England is the fella's name. And did you want to do your...
Oh, yes.
Okay, yeah, so yeah. We got to do that first.
Well... Put your hat on, throw your boots in the corner, because it's getting ready for Bunker's Bunkhouse and the good, the bad, and the bovine. Anyhow, we're going to start out with April 1st. And this is not an April Fool. This is a reality. 1865, the Battle of Five Forks was fought in southwest Petersburg, Virginia, around the road junction of Five Forks, Dinwiddie. I love that name, Dinwiddie.
Dinwiddie, yes.
Yes, county at the end of the siege of Petersburg near the end of the Civil War. Now, the following day, which would be April 2nd, but in this case in the year of 1513, now this is a little bit of history for Harry. Explorer Juan Ponce de Leon claims Florida for Spain, first known European to discover Florida. The natives didn't know it was lost. Anyhow, now moving on to the 3rd of April, that's 1860, the Pony Express began service between Missouri and California, using riders on horseback relay instead of the traditional stagecoaches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that makes sense. Except, you know, can you imagine sending a steamer trunk on a Pony Express horse?
No, I can't.
I can't either. Anyhow.
That's why they have mules.
Yeah. On the 4th of April, which that would have been, I don't know if that
that's
been,
today.
Yeah, that's today. That's the pivot one. Mm-hmm. And in 1887, Susanna Medora Salter, politician and activist, becomes first woman mayor elected in the United States in Argonia, Kansas, and she was one of the earliest women in any form of U.S. political office.
What year was that?
1887.
Wow.
Yeah. And yeah, she beat Wyoming. I thought Wyoming got all the first.
I don't know.
They probably had a second there.
Yeah.
And on the 5th of April in 1792, our president, George Washington, exercises the first ever presidential veto of the Apportionment Act, which would have primarily helped northern states gain more seats. And they would therefore probably caused the Civil War to happen anyway.
Mm-hmm.
On April 6, 1830, Joseph Smith and five others officially organized the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in New York. And then we're going to finish this little episode here with April 7, 1862, the Battle of Shiloh. One of the bloodiest battles in the Civil War, also known as the Battle of Pittsburgh Landing, fought on the 6th and 7th, it ended the South's hopes of blocking Union advancement into Mississippi, and eventually the downfall of the South, the surrender of Robert E. Lee, and all the Texans going back home and starting driving cattle north.
There you go. All right.
That's history for
you. Okie dokie. Let's get into the meat of today's matter, and that would be talking about Jerry England. First off, he's got bunches of books here. Photographic History of B-Western Movie Locations in Chatsworth, California. More than 350 photos of scenes lensed in the Santa Susana Mountains. Oh, my goodness. He's got, all kinds of stuff here. Man, oh man.
A plethora of things.
A plethora. Indeed. Witness Tom Mix, Roy Rogers, Gene Autry, John Wayne, Alan Lane, Bill Elliott, Charles Starrett, The Lone Ranger, Buster Crabbe, Tim McCoy, Lash LaRue, and many other six-gun heroes.
A drop in the bucket.
As they ride the pony trails of the gone but not forgotten Iverson Movie Location Ranch, Brandy Ice Movie Ranch, Bell Moving Picture Ranch, Corrigan Movie Ranch, Spawn Ranch, and Burrow Flats.
Ooh.
How many times have you been to any of those, Bunker?
Oh, not a lot. I've been to them, but not a lot.
Shoot anything there?
No, by the time I was out there, those places were pretty much built up. You know, Chatsworth had boomed. Mm-hmm. The Lower Ranch, the only thing that was left of the Lower Ranch was the Garden of the Gods, which they converted into a park, and thank God they saved it, because everything else was ticky-tack housing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to... This is a good...
Well, hang on a second.
Go ahead.
Todd, how long have you... how many times have you visited these places, if any?
Well, I've visited them by driving through and just kind of, you know, I'm a little strange, as you both know. So
yes.
If I'm driving on the freeway and I see something, I'll pull over.
Sure.
And I'll go look at it, and I'll go poking around. And drives Noah crazy, because we'll pull over and then I'll get out of the car. He says, no. There's no getting out of the car. There's no getting out of the car. Just like there's no touching. No touching. Don't touch anything. So, walking around, and you know, sometimes somebody will be at whatever the location is, and they'll come out and hit, hello, can I help you?
Yeah.
No, not really, you know, unless you want to give me a tour. I'll take that.
Don't let me touch you.
But I like all that stuff. And we were just out at the Reagan Library, about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we're driving through, you know, that area, Corrigan Ranch and all that, and so forth. So it's... there's a lot of history out there, and if you watch enough B-Westerns, you start to have flashbacks.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been there. Yeah, I've been there.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, you know, I've got to testify this, because I've got this on good authority, that Todd, when he's driving down the road and he sees something, he does stop. He has a trunk full of aluminum beer cans that he's collected over the years on those many stops.
Hey, those nickels add up.
Yes, they do.
Hey, I like those aluminum beer cans. NOLA makes me crush them, and then we recycle them. Uh-huh. That goes into the Hawaii Fund.
Right. So, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's
good planning.
Teamwork. You guys are a good team.
Good planning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're a great team. You know why? Because I listen. Whatever she says, I do.
You'd say, you pay attention.
You're a good boy. Well, I'm going to go into some of the Western history. I got tons of stuff here. But I want to cover this stuff. I'm going to jump all over the place. But Western film historians specializing in the history of filming locations, San Fernando Valley, particularly Iverson Movie Ranch, with more than two decades researching, I'm repeating a lot of what Harry already said, B Western location ranches, focusing heavily on the Santa Susana Mountains, iconic locations in Chatsworth with a significant collection of stills and lobby cards showing shooting locations. I'll skip that part because you covered that pretty good. What do we got here? Oh, okay. Let's go back. You didn't mention Rendezvous at Boulder Pass, no. Hollywood's Fantasyland in 2010 is when it's published. And that focused on the Santa Susana Pass itself as a premier movie location. It has documented over 1,000 films shot at Iverson alone. 1912, Cecil B. DeMille found Iverson Ranch while looking for locations for the film The Squaw Man, and that was the first movie shot at the ranch. Several fires have destroyed the movie ranch. They kept rebuilding back then. The ranch had had constant movie production for close to 60 years until the 118 freeway was built. And primarily, it was noise from the freeway that really killed it. Rock formations rock formation from the Lone Ranger TV series is still there. The ranches, and I'll name them off. I'm going to repeat them anyway: Iverson, Brandis, Corriganville, Bell Ranch, Burrow Flats, Spawn Ranch, Chatsworth Reservoir, Depot and Tunnel. And I've eaten at the Depot many times, and I bet you have too, Todd.
Yeah. You mean Crash Corrigan's old mess hall?
No,
restaurant.
No, the Depot in Chatsworth, the railroad depot.
Yes.
That was for years the watering hole for everybody working the pictures there. If you were in there having breakfast or coffee, you were going to see a dozen or more people in the industry.
Hey, speaking of things happening around, I forgot to mention there's a great program going on, and unfortunately we won't be able to attend, yeah, right. Where the hell is it?
The festival.
The Rocks, Alabama Hills.
Yes.
Love Pine.
Thank you. It's a, boy.
Maybe Todd knows more about it.
Well, Dean Vincent of Jan and Dean is performing there.
Dean Torrance. Yes, my dad managed Jan and Dean.
Wow.
Oh, good.
And I had lunch with Dean about 3 or 4 months ago, and he's just a first-class guy. You know, yeah. Who reconnected him to me was our good friend Steve Latshaw, who was a guest on the show.
Yeah.
He's involved with the Lone Pine Film.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there.
That's good. That's what we're about. We should be letting people know about events.
And also, coming up on the 18th, I don't have it in front of me, but it's out at the Mezcal Ranch. They're having a big to-do out there. A movie was being shot there.
The guy that starred in it, it was a short.
He's apparently a country western star.
Yeah, I can't remember. He's going to be doing a little concert there. Check it on the website.
Yeah. Mezcal Movie Ranch. Check it out.
And as long as we're doing previews, next weekend is Tucson Folk Festival, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I did some checking. They only seem to have a couple of Western or cowboy groups, but they're going to have bluegrass and fiddling and folk singing. And I've gone in the past, and it's fun.
All right.
And they have good brisket there, too.
All right. Back to our topic. So sorry.
Yeah, back to our topic. Okay. Anyhow, let's see. Jerry was an Army Airborne, honorable discharge, possibly a Green Beret. After that, he became a general contractor with Liberty Builders. He was a Voyager, or not a voyeur? No, that people, that's people that peek at people.
Yeah.
He was a voyager. He hit the boundary waters. He covered the fur trade, floating the Missouri, paddling the Tetons, Voyager National Park. He has a video which I really recommend. Watch it. I watched it, and it should have been a cowboy. The Inheritance of the Frontier, and it's mostly there's some video, moving video, but most of it is just photographs. But the way he put it together, it is, you know, it runs almost an hour, and it's worth watching. I mean, what the heck? What do I know? What we got here? Oh, that's the wrong thing. Oh, here we go. Jerry is a descendant of 12 generations of pioneer family. He has been in the San Fernando Valley since 1949, growing up in the 50s and 60s. He saw a lot of film trucks and movie stars who lived there. Most of them were like little small ranchers. Wild Bill Elliott was one. Actors working in the studio in the valley brought ranches there. Stars were more accessible back then. For one thing, there was less intrusion on their time, and people were way more important. And I can testify for how rude people can be today. Anyhow, in 1996, after bringing some horses from Montana to Chatsworth, he got interested in the making of movies at Iverson. By 2005, he was collecting memorabilia about Chatsworth movie locations, and after helping a young producer named Chris Meager produce a five-minute film about the Iverson, he launched into first of two books about films in the San Fernando Valley. The first book was written in the Valley. The second covers all genres from the silent era to the end of the Iverson and other Valley ranches. Early odors from that first period, the first three that I could find was The Squaw Man, 1914, with Dustin Farnham. Also The Pale Face, 1922, with Buster Keaton. And anytime you can watch something with Buster Keaton, do it, because that is the master of all film. And then, of course, The Covered Wagon, 1923, with Jane Warren Kerrigan. What we got going on here?
Okay, we can do a break, though.
Let's do a break.
All right, we're going to do our very first commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. We're talking about Cowboy Jerry England, and we'll be back with much more right after these important words. Stay tuned.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a five-bedroom, three-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
Wretched slugs. Don't any of you have the guts to play for blood?
I'm your huckleberry.
This is the Voices of the West.
I am a roving gambler. I've gambled all around. Wherever I meet with a deck of cards, I lay my money down. Had not been down Texas way many more weeks than three, till I fell in love with a pretty little gal, and she fell in love with me.
We are back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander Bunker de France, Todd Roberts with you, and of course the great Tex Ritter there, just a gambler.
Oh, I love
good
that
stuff.
Song.
Good
I
stuff.
Love that song. I could listen to the whole song.
I know. I got to find.
I could listen to the whole album.
I got to find some more Tex Ritter movies to watch. Anywho, we're talking about Jerry England, cowboy, mounted shooter. God bless, he does all kinds of stuff.
Well, I'm going to kind of just drift through some of the stuff that he does, and also some of the places you could look him up. You could like Google Jerry England and then dub whatever I'm going to say next after him, and it'll give you a whole new bunch of stuff to look at. I mean, he's got so much stuff to look at. Oh, my gosh. I spent 2 weeks looking at him, and I didn't even touch it. Anyhow, if you can look up Valley Session Fever, and that's a weblog. And what happened was back in the, maybe Todd will remember, there was a period, I think it was back in the 90s, where San Fernando, they wanted to secede from Los Angeles and stop being a part of L.A. and be their own little county.
Yeah, it's 2002.
Yes. Yes. What can you tell us about that, Todd?
Well, you have a lot of people in Los Angeles who are unhappy with the way the city's being run. I think they're much more unhappy now at this point. And, you know, the Valley has got a little tired of being, being ridiculed by people on the southern side of the hills. The Valley. Oh, you got to go to the Valley. Oh, God.
Valley girls.
Valley.
Yeah.
And finally, they looked up and said, well, you know what? If you don't want us, we can leave. And we'll take our tax base with us.
There you go.
And all the rest of it. And then all of a sudden, you know, the politicians started going, whoa, wait a minute. You want to. Don't do anything hasty. I mean, really, no reason to overreact. Why can't we sit down and talk about it? And you know, there was a real movement in the San Fernando Valley to do that, but you know, eventually it ran out of steam for whatever reason. Do I think anything nefarious happened? No. Why would I think that?
No, never.
You know, Los Angeles City Council. I'm going to get off subject for 2 seconds here.
Go,
there used
go.
To be a great, great place. Bunker will know it. It was called the Wiener Factory.
Mm-hmm.
It was on Ventura Boulevard in Sherman Oaks, just east of the 405 freeway. And they didn't have art on the walls at the Wiener Factory. They had unbelievable hot dogs, fabulous hot dogs. And when you went in there, they had sayings and quotes written on the walls. In big block letters, you know, handwritten, you know, with like a El Marco or a and they had some great ones, and I loved all of them. My favorite one though was, "Don't steal." The city count, Los Angeles City Council doesn't like competition, so you know, that kind of encapsulates, I think, for a lot of people how they feel about the City Council of Los Angeles. It is the highest paid city council in all of the United States.
Probably followed by Tucson.
25 years ago, we were we did a day where we were recognized in the insurance industry at the City Council of Los Angeles. They gave us a proclamation and so on. And back then, Herb Wesson, who was the president of the council, was making $544,000 a year. And his suits were tailor-made. And the reason I know
he that looked good, though.
He looked really good. Shelley Volk, you will remember.
Oh, yes. Yes.
He knew the tailor because his family was in the wholesale garment business, and they sold the woolens and the silks to all the tailors all around L.A., all over New York, D.C., everywhere. And he knew that tailor. And so, you know, you don't do that by picking up pennies. I'll tell you that right now. So, yeah, that did fail. You know, there's always some clamor about, hey, let's get out of here. Let's do this. Let's do that. And then eventually somebody gets a phone call and all the air sucked out of the blue.
Yeah, well, that's a perfect summation. The next category, which you could look up, Jerry England is cowboy activist, which would be pretty much a repeat of all this. But he also was very active in other things in the horse community. He was a fine, fine horseman. He's not as much as he used to be because he's like, I think, 83 now. I think he's 2 years younger than I am. But he's had some beautiful horses. He was active in cowboy mountain shooting, and I watched several tapes of him. In fact, he came over here and competed up in Phoenix on a couple of shows. He's a historian of Western movies, which we've gone over, and pretty darn thorough. He's also an author, namely the two books. I'm repeating myself here. And this is the other area where he excels, and that is as a folk artist. And when I say that, he's like, he makes furniture, and he's in the school of, and I would say an equal to Molesworthy. He doesn't do the horns and stuff, but he does, you know, the woodwork, and he's a fine woodworker. In fact, I told Harry to look him up yesterday. I don't know if he did or not.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you're shirking.
All right, I'll do it right now.
I've seen some of his furniture, and it is beautiful online.
Oh.
And we also have two friends in common, Victoria Roberts, who is somebody I've known through all the in cowboy and Indian shows all around the circuit and so forth, selling vintage jewelry and other artifacts. I've bought from her many times. And also, he is a friend of Dan Richmond. And Dan Richmond is a good friend of Michael Blake's. That's how I met him. And Dan Richmond has the watch, John Wayne's watch, from She Wore a Yellow Ribbon, the silver watch, which says, "Lest we forget."
Huh. Oh, man, that is a treasure. Ooh.
Yeah.
I am envious of that man.
So he's in good company.
Yeah.
Jerry England, he surely is.
The work is just, I mean, and the funny thing is, he started as a young man. He liked to draw and do artwork, but he didn't consider himself, you know, a Remington or a Russell. It was more, you know, more like a young man, something I might do. But it was very folksy, and the use of color, it's like the perfect furniture for somebody that loves the B period, or somebody that has kids and they want to decorate the kid's bedroom, the cowboy, you couldn't beat it. And you got it there, Harry?
Yeah, looking at this stuff now, and hey, what I like the there's a sofa there, a three cushion sofa. I like it because it's got wooden posts on there. Cat can't scratch those. Not well, anyway.
He can hang on them.
Yeah, right. No, it's beautiful stuff. No question.
Yeah. You know, it's like furniture, cabinets. He even does small carvings. One of the carvings, which I'll kind of come, because it's in this next area that you can look him up, and that's fur trade historian. And that's because his family goes back 12 generations, and I'll get into that later here, maybe, if I can even find it. But anyhow, there's a little piece in there that him and his wife Judy, they were up in the Boundary Waters area of Canada, and he saw this carving in a museum. It was like an Indian canoe with a bunch of braves paddling. He took a couple of quick sketches of it, and when he got home, he whittled it out, and it's one of his prized possessions. And it does. You look at it, and he's got a photograph of the one in the museum, nice. And his, and it's almost identical.
Wow.
Yeah, let's see. Okay, let's see. Lives in Chatsworth with his wife, Joyce. Okay, we covered that. Oh, here we go. Family heritage goes back over 12 generations. And he has collected, bought, sold, traded cowboy, Native American, Old West antiques, sporting good type stuff, you know, trapper stuff. The shows that he's done over the years, the Cody Old West Show, the High Noon Show, Western Design Conference, Paso Gathering, Paso Robles, Cowboy Traditions in Tucson, and I had the pleasure of actually going. That was, they did it out at Old Tucson, and it was really a neat thing because they didn't do it like a lot of these shows. It was everybody had their own individual thing,
mm-hmm.
but it was where you didn't just go and look at something and buy it. You stood there for 20-30 minutes talking about stuff. You know, the guy would be telling you about a spur,
yeah.
and then somebody would come up and pick something up. And you go, oh, let me tell you about that button hook. You know, it was like a gathering. Nice. It was like a rendezvous.
Yeah.
Okay, what have we got here going on now? I did that. Okay. Oh, he's a past member of the National Bit, Spur, and Saddle Collection Association. He has a series of four-footed friends. These are all of the equine possession. There's Zinger, Biggs, Cassidy. That's actually Cassidy May, Sun Up, and the horse that he used a lot for the mounted shooting was Cassidy May, the American Quarter Horse Mare. And what do we got here, Nick? So, president of the Chatsworth Equine Cultural Heritage Organization, which he founded in 2000. That's part of that activist stuff that he liked it. This guy cared about the horses. He cared about the community. He cared about everything.
So when he retired from whatever, this is what he started doing was.
He started doing this long while before. He was still, because he had a construction company apparently, and you know with the construction industry. This is just supposition on my part, but I think he did a lot of big projects and a lot of things like that. Is you finish it, and you generally have a little downtime between the next one.
Yeah.
Plus, you want to relax a little bit.
Sure.
Because he did. He went up. He paddled the Boundary Waters. He paddled canoes all over the place. Paddled in Missouri. This guy was a paddler. Okay, what do we got here? This is another place you could look him up. That's the back trail of a Western family, which basically is because he's also a genealogist,
mm-hmm.
par excellence, as far as his family's concerned, anyway. And he also, the British trail of a Western family, which is tracing his family from England over to the New World and then through Ohio, Pennsylvania, just up into Montana, and then eventually the family ending up in California. But 12 generations. He's also got, this is another good blog if you want to have fun. It's his blog is driftingcowboy.blog.
It's driftingcowboy.blogspot.com.
There you go. There you go. Oh, that's what I entered S-O and I put the T on another line. And of course, his home is just, it's a show place. He used it for years to show off his furniture and stuff. And occasionally, when they would do something special, they would like really spruce up, especially the living room. You know, nice. maybe get the clutter out of there so it would look good.
All right, we got to do our next commercial break here. On Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Jerry England is our topic. Historian, mounted shooter, furniture maker, fur trapper, jack of all trades, probably a master of all of them.
Yes.
Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts, we'll be right back with you.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Ol Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, 200 full-service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
You know, these Arizona cows are so different. Back in New York, we don't fight cows. We just milk them.
This is the Voices of the West.
On Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts with you. Jerry England is our topic. God, this guy's got all kinds of stuff. I'm looking at his blog on Family Tales, and the folks who are those to whom he is related,
yeah,
is a bunch.
Oh, a sack full of people.
You know, his mom's family, let's see, they're Quaker. Yep. That's how that started. Oh, my God, there's just so much of it here.
Yeah.
Wowzers.
Well, you know, also, you can look him up on PayPal and buy stuff, which I think that's neat. You know, I'd love to have something. I couldn't afford it, but I'd love it. And you can also look him up on Facebook. There's a video. Again, I watched this one too. It was Back Trail of a Pioneer Family, which covers a lot of that.
Yeah.
In fact, if you got the right site there, on the right hand corner, there's in red, it runs down to about 2011.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a month. It's a weekly or monthly.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, because I went down and I started with the first one, and of course I got in there and you have a little kind of alerts, and I hit the alert and it took me further back to another. So, and I mean, somebody should write a book about him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the genealogy is just so interesting.
And that's what that one thing is about. But it goes off into these side stories and you know, trips. His canoeing and stuff is like, there's one of the things maybe I'll come to it later. I'm going to mention it now out of memory. But the Indian canoe was like a 15-foot canoe.
Mm-hmm.
The canoes like the Voyager uses were 24-foot canoes. I mean, those were big honkers.
Wow. Just
I just got on his side, on the Voyager side, there is a series of Voyager art that it just blows your mind. It's going back. I guess he probably spent years collecting this stuff because it's all over the place as far as different people and time periods. You can tell from the style.
Yeah.
But the work is just, you know, it's the kind of stuff I get lost in. Okay, I'm gonna repeat a little bit of stuff here. Family has been in America since 1636. That's a long time before the American Revolution. After the American Revolutionary War, the family moved west from Connecticut through Pennsylvania, Ohio, Iowa, Nebraska, finally Montana, where his mom was born. We covered that one. Some of the mounted shooting events that he's participated in was the Western Shooting Horse Magazine Grand American at Cave Creek and also Fest of the West at Phoenix. Now, he's appeared on a TV show. You can look that one up and probably watch it, the Carol Duvall Show, and he was talking about his furniture. Also, I found out he was a poet. I didn't come across any of his poetry, but there's a reference there to him being a cowboy poet, which, of course, I don't know why he wouldn't be. In 2005, he was the honorary mayor of Chatsworth, and he rode in the annual Chatsworth Holiday Parade, sponsored by the Kiwanis Clubs of Chatsworth. Yeah, that's a little shout-out to the Kiwanis. They do a lot of good stuff, I think. What do we got here? Okay, we're going to... Okay, in the real cowboys of the Santa Susana Pass, there's over 350 photos of scenes. And what do we got here? Moving on to another page. We're going to cover some decorative art again here.
Okay.
It's called Cowboy Chic Furniture. It's not cowboy chic. It's cowboy wonderful. And it's rustic furniture. Rancho Deluxe, Molesworth style, Western design, and it was formerly marketed as Lure of the Dim Trails. So you might be able to go back and find some old stuff on there, you know, this stuff that's still lurking around the internet. And some of the pieces that were and are in his collection is chairs, headboards, blanket chests, rustic living American carved chests, bedroom furniture, hat racks, mirrors, that's kind of like the frame. Chatsworth Fine Art Council show in 2000, he won the People's Choice winner for the Team Roper desk, and that is a neat looking desk. It's somewhere on there, Harry, if you go pondering. He was founding president of the Chatsworth Equine Cultural Heritage Organization, which I mentioned, but I didn't tell you it was established in 2000 to protect local wilderness and trail systems for the horsebackers. In 2002, California had more horses than any other state in the United States. At that time, the population was estimated to be 642,000. And if you multiply that by each foot, that's four times. Now, this is the kind of stuff we get into here. His early cowboy heroes, Buck Jones. How could anybody go wrong with
that? You know, I mean, come on.
He included Tim McCoy. That's in the 40s and the 50s.
Yep.
Now, his TV cowboys was Hoppy, Mr. Hopalong Cassidy, Bill Board, Gene Artery, and Roy Rogers.
Gene Artery?
Yeah, that's what Pat Buttram called him. Gene Artery. Hey, Mr. Artery!
Okay.
I covered this American Indian, the blog of Drifting Cowboy. I told you he participated in mounted shooting, but I didn't tell you that the other horse, Sunup, was a Palomino. Pretty horse, too. Okay, some of his cowboy furniture has been published in Southwest Art, a very prestigious magazine. Sunset, it's been around for more than 100 years. The LA Times, Sunday Magazine, Home Magazine, and featured on the Carol Duvall Show demonstrating his work.
Todd, get in there.
Yeah, get in there.
So, Bunker, when you're describing this furniture, I mean, I see some on his Facebook page, but when you said you can find it on PayPal, do you mean eBay?
I don't know anything about that stuff. That's just what the gadget said there on the screen.
You know him. You know his computer literacy.
What's a computer?
Yeah, right.
I hate the things. I want to go back to paper.
Probably eBay. PayPal is just a method.
Oh, that's how you pay for it.
Yeah, PayPal.
Yeah, that's right.
I searched eBay and I couldn't find anything.
Yeah. Oh, maybe he's off of there now. He's been pretty, I guess, because Harry tried to get a hold of him for a long time.
Yeah.
And like I said, he's 83, so he may have cut back on his activity.
Yeah.
He probably went, he ain't going to answer that call. Probably wants to ask me questions.
Yeah,
I ain't going to ask no damn questions.
Yeah, I know.
You turn on it too? Yeah. Yeah, that's the way it is here. Yeah. Okay, what do we got here? As a Western film historian, he has researched and collected memorabilia associated with the Santa Susana Mountains, the movie locations, and I've covered this one already. Okay. He's bought, sold, traded, collected, cowboy, we covered over that. Voyager, okay. Family historian, canoeist, fur trade to legacy, that's part of the family. Some distant kin, French, Canadian, traced back through the forest and prairies to North America, a 70 plus years of loving canoeing and canoes and canoeing. Man, you think about this, 70 years, that'll keep you going.
I've been in a canoe twice.
I can row a boat, canoe.
And after that particular voyage, I will never get in another one because...
Rickety?
Yeah, too rickety. Flat bottom, man. That's what I want. Flat bottom.
You don't like a piece of bark between you and the water?
No, I had no problem with the size of the vessel.
I mean, the material it was made of.
No, I had no problem with that either. It's just, it is so pointy at the bottom.
Oh.
On the keel area, and it's like, yeah, forget that.
You figure it's going to roll on you any minute.
Yeah, well... they do.
Okay. Well, he's made two canoe trips and also canoe trips as well down the Owens River in California on the Eastern Sierras in 1974 and has since paddled hundreds of lakes and rivers across North America. Some memorable canoe trips that he's made was the Minnesota Boundary Waters canoe area, Ontario's Algonquin Park, Wyoming Snake River. That Snake River is pretty damn rough. Anyway, when I saw it,
it
looks like nothing but a rapid.
Yeah, lots of rapids there.
Yeah, wow. Upper Missouri River in Montana. The Wishon Reservoir in California, and has ordered a vintage Old Town canoe. They probably got it by now. some of his blogs are Ripples from La Prairie Voyager Canoes, edited by him. Okay, get rid of that piece of paper.
All right, we're going to do our final commercial break here. On Animal Friends, these Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts with you. Jerry England is our topic, and we'll be back with much more after this.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities
activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
Did you ever see the wind blow a rooster in a jug? Ain't nothing that'll make your innards more squeamy than the first-class pure oldie twisty wheel.
This is the Voices of the West.
All right, belly up to the bar, gents.
Yeah, put your foot on the rail, blow your nose on the bar rag, and have a swig.
Ah, goodness, I haven't seen a twisty wind. Actually, I've seen a twisty wind. I haven't seen a rooster in a jug, though.
I drove through a twisty wind and didn't even know it. It was nighttime in New Mexico. Yeah. I just thought it was a bad rainstorm.
Okay.
It was bad, though.
Anyway, Jerry England is our topic here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West with Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, and Todd Roberts. And we're into the waning moments of
Todd,
the...
Todd, have you got anything to... Any closing thoughts or musings?
Well, I just think that, you know, he is truly a Renaissance man who loves the West as we do and obviously contributed a lot to it and added to it. And I don't think there's anybody that can say anything negative about him.
That's right.
He's a first-class fella. Anybody wears a cowboy hat can't be all bad.
That's right. unless he's a heavy.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, unless he's
a henchman.
Strange or something. it's enjoyable to see all this stuff, and, I'd like to find some of it.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely collectible. Yeah, there's another thing I want to mention, too, is he mentions a poem in one of his sites. In fact, the whole poem is there. But you can look the poem up and read it for yourself. And it's I wouldn't call it a cowboy poem. It's a Voyager poem. And that's the name of it, is The Voyager by George T. Marsh. I read it. I really enjoyed it. And if you love that kind of stuff, you might want to take the moment to do it for yourself. Now, also, there's on his site, there's a ton of photos from a rendezvous. And I mean, I swear to God, it's like watching Across the Wide Missouri. There's nothing in any of those photos that, you know, it's like Wayback Machine photos. There's nothing modern in them.
You know, when folks participate in that kind of an event, a rendezvous, there you can bring those kind the well, depends on the rules, but normally you can bring like ice chests, but they have to be disguised.
Yes, like a pack truck.
Yeah, something like that.
Pannier, like a pannier.
Yeah, we used to do that in our Civil War living histories and pirate living histories. Mm-hmm. You can bring it, but don't have it out during the show.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And also, this is one of the rendezvous he went to, and this is when you can look this one up. There's great photos there. Is the Wind River Western National Rendezvous in 1987. Now, just going to some other stuff here. His collection covers more than 100 ancestors from over 25 families that were engaged in fur trade. That's just from the fur trade, from 1620s to the 1840s in New France. I like that, New France. He called it like it's supposed to be called. In the 1980s and 90s, he discovered buckskinning shooting, and that's kind of that's like reenactment. Acting, you know, it's muzzle shooting, dressing. That's right up your alley, Harry.
Yeah. Black powder, you know, you probably more than likely using a flintlock rifle.
Yeah, it's a Living Mountain Man organization.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, when I worked on the Oregon Trail, they had two guys from that were technical advisors. And so, like, if somebody was building a fire at wagons were stopped, they were doing it the right way. You know, really cool.
Yeah.
Let's see what we got. We got a few more minutes here. Okay. Oh, let me move on down here. This is a good thing to go out on. Some features of the Anderson Ranch was Chatsworth Peak, Rocky Peak, Oak Mountain, sandstone boulders, oak trees, magnificent rock outcroppings, rugged chaparral, miles of scenic chase and insert roads, complete adobe village, full western street, ranch set with ranch house, bunk house, barn, outbuildings, a lot of small buildings used for miner cabins, outlaw shacks, stagecoach relay stations. You know, all the stuff that filled in that stuff, you know, especially them little shacks that the outlaws always hid in.
Sure.
I mean, you got to have a shack. You can't hide out in a nice place. You got to hide out in a shack. Yeah. Now, I've kind of said this, but I'm going to cover this again. The only undeveloped portion of the ranch today is a 23-acre Garden of the Gods Public Park in the lower portion of the ranch.
That's Iverson?
That's Iverson, yeah. Boulder Pass, that's what the second book is primarily about, it doubled for the jungles of India and of Africa, the sands of the Sahara, the Khyber Pass between Pakistan and Afghanistan, which fit right in with Lone Pine, the plains of Montana, the High Sierras, Rocky Mountains, and Boulder Pass in reality is Santa Susana Pass.
That's pretty good. Man, leave it to Hollywood to come up with some of these things, man.
Well, you know, it's so funny. I was watching a chaparral the other day, and they shot it here and out there in California.
Did you see yourself in it?
No, I don't think I worked on that one. Either that or I was really hiding good. But there's a shot there where they're chasing the bad guys, and they've located, and they ride up to this hill, and they're here in Arizona, and Blue runs up the hill to discover the bad guys' hiding place, and he crops up over the hill, and they're in the Mojave Desert. I mean, that was a big hill, obviously.
Yeah, we've been talking about that a long time. We need to get that changed.
Well, you know, it's so funny, too, the cactus. You know, all of a sudden you got saguaros, and then you're out there with the yuccas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look so much alike.
Oh, they do. I couldn't tell the difference. You know. Well, That kind of exhausts what I've got here, unless I repeat something.
Well, it's a good thing, because we're plumb out of time.
Well, how about that? Go ahead, Todd.
I just, you know, this was a fun show. I learned about somebody I didn't know, and that's what's great.
Yeah, that's exactly. We learn something new almost every day. And if you're not learning something new, you might as well be 6 feet under or stored in a can or something of that nature.
Or so, dumb as a mud fence.
There you go. All right, that's it for this edition of Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, and Todd Roberts with you. Join us again next time we get together.
At 78, 79, 80 O's, Jerry English, and thank you for England, and thank you for your contributions to the West.
So long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West.